You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning to you, and welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I am Robin, and I will be one of your host folks for the program today. I've got Tina with me here in the studio, just rushing in. Hello.
Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a little bit rushed this morning, as maybe you are as well.
Yeah, I always get lost on the SFU campus.
Sorry. Right?
Yeah, it's like a maze here.
Yeah, yeah. I often feel, you know, quite a lot of empathy, sympathy, all of the things for new students and people who are coming up to try to find their way around, because it's as all university campuses, I think, are, because I get lost at UBC when I go out there. I just get completely turned backwards. But, you know, it's not an intuitive place to sort of get your way around. And the way that the floors are labeled, even across the buildings on campus, make no sense to me, even though I've been here for years. So,
okay,
yeah, you're not alone is the moral of the story.
Thank
I guess
you for making me feel better.
Oh goodness. Anyways, we've got a really interesting show, I think, coming up for you. Tina sent me some articles, and we're going to touch on and discuss the issue of the reference man and why this is not a good idea for society and women's health and safety in general. And then if we get to it, we'll have a little bit of a chat about how in the UK they're putting together some guidelines for a more inclusive gender-based education, and some things that will make it safer for students who are identifying outside of the gender norms. And that's interesting because my understanding is here in Canada, we are coming upon the 2-year anniversary of the ban on conversion therapy, and so those two issues sort of can conflate a little bit, which is interesting. We're going to start off with a little bit of music, just to sort of ease ourselves into the morning, and I found this just open on the computer here at the station, with a note to say, watch this later. And I was curious, and we're gonna We're going to listen to it right now and not wait till later. This is La Espera. And I think it's part of a soundtrack to a movie, Perfume de Violetas. So here we go. It sounds like it might be a little instrumentally and kind of lovely. All right, welcome back here to Intravenous. My name's Robin.
And my name's Tina.
And we are going to be your hosts for today's show. As I had mentioned, and maybe you can kind of get us introduced to the book and the topic of The Invisible Woman, Tina, as it was your idea to bring this forward. Tell us what you can, and then we'll jump into some key concepts from the book and why the heck they matter so much.
Okay, yeah, for sure. So I first saw this book at a bus stop. I saw a woman reading it. I think it was maybe a mom that was reading the book, and I got really interested because I just saw a bunch of stick men, stick figures on the cover. And I found it in the library, and I gave it a look, gave it a read. Also, I was really interested in data analysis and statistics sort of things. So this was like in my realm of interest. Also feminism. So it's like a good combination. And So what I learned from the book is that a lot of our health research from the past and even to this day are very focused on men. Like, a lot of our subjects are men. And then I think the research field sort of assumes that men and women have the same responses to medicine and to treatment, which is definitely not true. There are a lot of differences between these two genders. And I think the research, medical research field is not addressing correctly. And in some other ways, for example, the gyms that we have these days are designed mostly for men. The machines are very large. And I feel it too. When I go to the gym, it feels very big for me. And it's hard to adjust the seats. Like, my feet can't reach the floor. And yeah, just a lot of things in the world are designed for men and makes it very difficult for women to live in this world. And also, with the health research, it's hard for us to trust what we're taking when we don't know that's been tested on women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The author of the book is... let me just find her name again. Caroline Criado Perez, and she's from the UK. And my understanding is that she has been a feminist activist for quite a long time, but due to some of her own kind of health pathways, she came to discover that there are these discrepancies, right, that you mentioned, and that sort of led her on this rabbit hole down into how a lot of the things that we take for granted in a lot of ways, right, are built with what has become known as reference man, as the norm or the standard. And this reference man, this generic white, built in a certain frame and a certain height and a certain weight, is the reference point for absolutely every single thing in our world. Yeah. And I know we've talked about these kinds of things on the show. If you've tuned in and Pranjali has been with me on the air, she really likes to talk about how technology and gender don't fit together all the time because it's being built by, the structures that build society, build technology. And, we're seeing this through the demonstration that Carolyn Criada Perez writes about in the book. There's eight key points that she touches on, and I think one of the ways that we can sort of do justice, Tina, to the content in the book is to look at the eight keys and just give examples from the book, but also maybe personal examples, because I'm sure that we're well versed as women in things not fitting, as you mentioned about the exercise equipment at the gym, right?
Yep.
So the first key is that we are conditioned as a society to view the male gender as the default and ignore or erase female experience.
Yep.
So that's probably, you know, the key that undergirds most of the contents in the book. And I don't think we need to look very far to really appreciate how this works, right? I mean, if you tune into Intravenous, as I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, on any given day, you'll most likely hear us talking about the ways in which, you know, things just don't fit quite the way that that we need them to. Are there specific ways, Tina, that you can kind of point to or mention that support this particular key?
Well, actually, from the article last week, we were talking about how in the news articles that we read these days, most of the quotes are by men. And I think that erases the female experience, at least in the news world, right? We're not really getting the female perspective in a lot of the mainstream media, like the topics of sports, politics. Most of these things are talked about by men, apparently, according to news. And I think that's erasing the female experience in that sense. But I guess at the same time, the male experience is getting erased in topics like fashion and makeup and like childcare. So I don't know. But from that article we read last week, at least we know that majority of the quotes in news articles are by men. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good example. And obviously there's no... it's a blurry line. But what we're talking about is the statistics and the data, right? And I think that's the thing that makes, or, you know, made Criado Perez's book so potent, is that it wasn't anecdotal. It was very data-driven. Yeah. And so as sort of science goes, there was a lot to bolster it up, to, you know, be taken as a source to be reckoned with, so to speak. The second key idea in the book Invisible Women is that data centers on the male experience and overlooks the female experience.
Yeah, so again, back to the health research. I think a lot of experiments historically were conducted on only men and even only male mice. And I don't really know why, but that's what we see in the data. And the author finds that the female perspective is erased, at least in the health research field. And there is a missing chunk of data on female responses to certain medication. And I think this has very detrimental effects, because sometimes medication works for males, but in females, they might cause very bad side effects. I don't remember if it was from this book or another book. I read somewhere that there was a drug that caused birth defects in females, in maybe pregnant females or just females in general. And that those kind of things cannot be discovered unless we test the drugs on females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the examples that I'm not sure if it was in the book, but I listened to a couple of podcasts where the author was talking, and also a guest on a medical. It was a show where they were talking to a bunch of people who had written books on medical research and data, and it not really measuring up in the ways that we think it should, right? To keep us healthy and safe. But they were talking about, you know, how to recognize symptoms of heart attack, for instance, in people. And symptoms of heart attack are, you know, if your left arm feels funny and, you know, goes to sleep or, you know, goes numb or whatever, and you feel something, then it's a sign of a heart attack. But for women, those symptoms are different.
Yeah.
Completely different, actually. And I don't have the example of how it affects us in front of me. But, you know, those affect our well-being when we don't know what we're looking at to even recognize what's happening to us. There was also something mentioned in terms of like transplants and, you know, things that are very intricate and personalized medical procedures, right? If someone gets a new kidney or a new liver, that's a really big deal. And the majority of research done on, you know, how transplants work and whether or not they're successful and who do we take the organs out of and put into, so much of that again is through the male gendered body. And when you can't just take a liver, for instance, from a male body and put it into a female body because the size is different.
Yeah.
And the functioning even of some of these things, and again, my memory is not perfect on this, but in one of the podcasts where the authors of the medical books were talking, they were specifically speaking about kidney and kidney functions and how they're a little bit different between men and women. And so, you know, if you're taking a kidney out of someone and putting it into someone else, you want those kidneys to be able to function in the way that they need to for each body type, right?
Yeah. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the body is a complicated machine to begin with. And so when we're talking about, you know, medical research and whether we should be, you know, testing things on all bodies, I think we saw this over COVID too, right? It became very pronounced that there weren't records and there wasn't medical data on other than white communities.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Black experience of COVID or the vaccine or you know, medical waits or, you know, intubation or, you know, all of these things just weren't available.
Yeah. So in a way, women are like a marginalized community in the medical field.
Yeah. The third key idea is that women are disadvantaged by data that doesn't account for the female experience. And I think we
touched on that already.
We've definitely highlighted some of the ways that is the is the fact. One of the things that I found kind of interesting is that, you know, even for the cell phone, they're designed to fit the male hand.
Yeah, they're really big.
You know, and depending on the version of phone you have, some of them are gigantic. And I don't know how they fit in your phone. You know, like I have an old phone. I tried to buy a case the other day and someone laughed at me because it's like, oh, that's like, that's a dinosaur phone, you know? But I like it because it's actually kind of small.
Yeah. The phones are getting bigger and bigger these days.
You know? And so I was surprised, not surprised, to learn that cell phones are designed to fit a male hand of certain dimensions and, you know, to have a palm size that's a certain squareness or whatever. And you'd have to be a pretty big woman to have hands like that, right? Yeah. Like even when you and I compare our hands, my hands are bigger than yours.
Yes, much bigger.
You know, and I don't have big hands.
Yeah.
You know, so these little things that we take for granted almost.
Yeah, I know my friend has to buy like older versions of iPhones or even like child version of phones just so she can hold it in her hand properly, like how a man would hold a phone. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I'm curious if a woman was the one to design the, I don't know what they're called, but those little pop-out things on the back that you hold between your fingers.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a woman who built that so that she could actually hold her
Maybe.
Phone. Well, you know, necessity is the mother of invention.
We can
so
look it up after.
you never know. And this key idea number four points exactly to what we were just talking about, is that many everyday objects, from pianos to smartphones, are designed for men. I always joke, not joke, that you know, if my refrigerator was built by a woman, it would be designed differently. Not necessarily because the size of my fridge is, it doesn't work for me, but it's about who's actually using the apparatus or the appliance and what they're using it for, right? And when you can't see to the back and the bottom of the shelves to really get in there and see what's there, or you can't fit the things that you know a milk jug is a certain size, and you know that, you know, broccoli crowns are a certain size. When they don't fit in the vegetable drawer or they don't fit in the shelf because it's not high enough, it was a man. It was a man building that thing.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, not to point fingers, but holy smokes, it's astonishing to me sometimes.
I need to use a stool to get to some of the stuff in the fridge. So it's so tall. And yeah, so deep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that that's I think triggered Caroline Criado Perez, the author of Invisible Women, to look at writing this book, because there was an incident in the UK where a firefighter had passed away on duty. They had died in the line of duty. And then there was someone who was killed maybe in a car accident. And then there was someone who